This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Say, hey! Welcome back in, Derek Kramer, Zach Jones, taking over for One Bills Live. A show so nice, we get to do it twice. Woo! Eventually. After, you give Brayton and Paul 1 hour, and Brayton's kicking off his shoes. Paul's taking the school of Howard Simon with
Paul's
the clock.
Paul's just being Paul.
Yeah.
You know.
Paul's just being Paul.
Causing chaos, ruining everything.
Yes, always.
Terrible.
Just awful. The worst.
We're saying this as both of us harassed him and texted him in the last segment.
We did. We absolutely did. But that's what you do with the coworkers that you love, is you absolutely harass them. Because Paul's response to me was that he's trying to protect all of you out there from me, which is fair.
What a hero.
Ooh. We love you, Paul.
Paul, always love you. Brayton, love you.
Long night tonight for Paul, too, again.
Yes. Yes, as it is the good old classic Sabres After Dark. Brayton giving me a friendly gesture walking by. I think he may or may not have just heard us. But yes, Sabres After Dark tonight as Buffalo takes on Anaheim. Please win.
It's the best I can do. I want to dive deep into it, but it's really just win, guys. It'd be really cool if you did that.
Yes.
It'd be really cool.
Just win.
Thompson also playing would be nice. I'd really like that.
That would be a big deal and a very heavy tip of the scales toward your favor. But that said, I'm still impressed with what they did the other night. Like, that's still...
Mm-hmm.
That was still fantastic. But you know what else is fantastic? Bills sitting at 9-2 at the bye week. And you had a fun question that I wanted to really get into. Because my answer is going to be so fun for this. It's so fun. You're not going to know how much fun the answer is. But it's this. What are you doing with your bye week? As the Bills don't play football, you get to kick back. Did Paul text you?
No.
Okay. I heard your phone go off. I'm like, oh, please let this be an indirect response.
I got a college basketball notification. It's way bad for me.
So, what are you doing with your bye week and the plans of the bye week? 803-0550 is the number to call, as we'd love to hear from you about, hey, the Bills don't play. What are you doing? How are you relaxing? How are you kicking back? Are you watching more football? Are you going to watch Dolphins Patriots like a sicko?
I totally am. Are you kidding me? I'm locked in. I went through the schedule this morning, Derek. It's not great until the 4:25 window.
Yeah,
like the last
actively bad.
Yeah, the quote unquote last four games starting 4:25 going through Monday Night Football actually is pretty good. The 1 o'clock window, go for a hike.
Yeah, like
go get some flowers.
So Corey Griswold started a bit that Evan and I continued on of like playing trombone champ to the worst game of the week. This schedule would be mostly trombone champ.
Yeah, 100%.
If I were to read it off. 100%. Not going to.
It's not good.
It's not good. It's actually very bad.
Funny enough, though, the college schedule
is elite.
Is fantastic.
Because we're getting late in the year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's where the meat and potatoes of the college football schedule is. And that's probably where most of my football watching is going to be.
100%.
I'm going to tell you right now, I ain't watching none of this for a week. I don't need pro egg ball in my life right now. The Bills are off. Have you not heard egg ball before?
I have.
Okay. I was going to say.
It took me a second.
There you go. You figured out why I said it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. I don't need to watch it this weekend. It's beautiful. So beautiful. Not having anything to do with it. Because here's the other part. Because the Bills are 9-2, because they are very securely set as the second seed right now, I don't have much homework to do.
No, I really, the big thing,
especially
too,
because Pittsburgh lost last night.
Pittsburgh lost last night in a cool weather game. That turned out to be really cool.
That was aesthetically very nice, actually.
And then with San Francisco as well, really the big thing you're keeping an eye on them, honestly, is injuries. What's Brock Purdy's shoulder looking like? It sounds like he's going to practice today. There is hope that he's going to play against Green Bay this weekend. But the fact that we're on Friday and he's getting an MRI done on his shoulder,
that's bad.
That's not good.
Yeah.
And so that's obviously that's a week away. But
what time is that game at, though?
4:25.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I don't have to watch none of this at 1 o'clock on a Sunday. I feel great.
I will tell you, though, me and Josh talked about it today on the X Point Show. It's different from the last few years.
You sound like you don't watch it anyway.
But it's different from the last few years where you could argue you were very stressed out after the bye week, and it was like, even though it's the bye, like you're looking ahead going, all right, they've got to win here, and they've got this coming up. And ultimately, and we'll get into it, that they're very, very good in December. And
yes,
specifically very good off the bye. That one is, I think, kind of a relatively known stat at this point. McDermott is yet to lose off the bye. Derek almost broke something here.
Oh, my.
Standing.
Oh, my. I wish we had the cameras here. Because that was...
Is it still standing?
Yes.
Yeah, we're still standing.
Oh,
we're
my
fine.
God.
We're fine. I ripped
the base off the... Oh, my God.
Oh, no, no. You didn't do that.
Oh, there we go. I got it.
Yeah,
it's
you didn't
back.
Do that. That's from this morning. You're fine.
Holy... This... What did Jeremy...
Don't worry. You're fine.
Okay.
We're fixing things in here. And it's like...
So,
it's half measured because there's so many of us in here constantly. You're just breaking things now.
I'm just trying to pull the mic closer to me.
Well, don't do that anymore.
It has an arm. It's supposed to go. All right, so, yeah.
Adapt with the times.
I almost... I don't know what to do anymore.
Just going to break it.
I truly wish we had video right now of everything that just happened.
Yeah, what everyone is missing is that essentially it's like... It's on a platform, the mic, and...
It's on a raised platform,
yeah.
And I went to pull the mic arm to me, and the platform came with it.
And it's breaking.
And then... As I thought that I finally had it, finally settled in, the mic arm retracted by itself just now. I'm done. I'm just going to have to speak into it from this distance and
That's
just
fine.
Be okay with that.
Where were we at? What were we talking about?
Bills on the bye week.
Bills on the bye week.
And your plans or our plans to do, if anything, about it on a Sunday. And I'm going to tell you proudly right now, that answer is absolutely not. I have zero football watching in my schedule.
Oh, I can't say the same. I can't say the same.
On a Sunday? You kind of do have to say that. You and I have the same plans on Sunday.
Not at 1 o'clock?
Not at 1 o'clock, no. You're right.
We'll be locked in for Patriots-Dolphins.
You're a sicko.
Locked in, baby.
Degenerate behavior.
I want to see what Drake May is all about. Not really. I already know what Drake May is all about.
Yeah.
He's mini Josh Allen.
Really?
He's exciting.
Don't make me watch this game. Don't talk me into
Watch this game.
No.
Yes.
I'll watch him when he faces the Bills.
No. You got to know beforehand.
No.
This is the prelude.
What do I need? What do I need to know about Drake May that I'm not seeing already from other people, from highlights, because of the fact that, like, hey.
The full picture.
What full picture do I need?
It's like reading the Wikipedia page of a movie instead of going to see it. Be like, I got everything. No, you didn't. You didn't get to see the visuals.
Ready?
You didn't listen to the soundtrack.
Ready? That's great. I'm not a scout.
No. You don't need to be. But we're bringing you along.
I will say
this.
You're
going to join the Drake May fan club that kind of hates itself because he plays for the Patriots.
That's exactly why I don't need to do it.
I don't want to be alone. That's really what I don't want to be alone.
I don't want to be alone.
I was a big May
fan. Are we just hanging out all day Sunday then?
Yeah, it might
be. All right.
It might be. But I was such a big Drake May fan.
Zach's going to drag me into watching Patriots and Dolphins.
We're there.
By the way, we'll get connected with our fans. It's brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. You can also tweet us. What are your plans for this Bills-free weekend? Chuck tweeting in, it is hunting season. I can stay in the woods all dang day.
Ooh, there you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
So there you go. Chuck's going to be out chilling out in the woods. See if he can score some game. Ryan Hasenauer tweeting in, bye weekend plans, head to Syracuse tomorrow for the Orange against UConn, then back to Buffalo to see Pentatonics, packed Saturday followed by work on Sunday.
Yeah, there you go.
We got it.
For me, I actually have a busier bye week than I'd necessarily, I don't want to say would want. I'm fine with it. I'm going to a wedding on Saturday.
Yeah.
It's Saturday afternoon. And so I'm going to try to watch as much of college football as I can because we got number 5 Indiana at Ohio State, number 2 in the country. I'm excited about that.
That is probably the most conflicted I'm ever going to feel about a college football game in my entire life, by the way.
Really?
Yes. Because I can't stand Ohio State.
Okay.
But my best friend Sammy went to Purdue, and I adopted his lifestyle.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
Indiana.
I cannot root for Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I already hate Ohio State fans for saying the Ohio State University. Like, I'm going to confuse it with something else.
And that was Chris Carter's thing.
I don't care who started it. I hate that
it
exists.
But it is still going on.
It still goes on, and I'm like I'm going to confuse it with the other Ohio State. There's a different...
There's so many.
There's different Miami... I know there's more Miami universities. Why don't they do it instead? Because I could...
Because they'll just say Miami of Ohio.
Yes, but like that's the thing. They fix it. But Miami University would have that right to say the Miami University.
They do the U.
Yes, the U.
They,
yes.
They
have their own branding for it. But like, there's no other Ohio State that I need to concern myself with within college athletics.
Well, then, if you don't want to watch that game, totally understandable. At 3:30, BYU at Arizona State. Number 14 in the country versus number 21. Arizona State, one of the better rebuild projects in the country. Potentially spotting the Big 12 championship for Arizona State would be really cool. They have been one of the bottom feeders in college football.
Yeah,
they have NFL talent, though. They have NFL talent. Rashad White, Brandon Ayuk. There's a lot of NFL talent from those programs that just kind of doesn't really lead to much team success. Kenny Dillingham building a really good program there. And then... I'm just saying, this is a game I think many of us that want the group of five playoff spot to be interesting. Army, Notre Dame, Yankee Stadium.
I always love to see Notre Dame lose.
Notre Dame currently a 14.5 point favorite, though.
Yeah.
But it is the number 19 undefeated Army taking on the number 6 one loss Notre Dame team. Again, Notre Dame 14.5 point favorite. That's at 7 o'clock on Saturday.
Notre Dame,
by
the way.
I will miss most of these games.
Notre Dame, by the way. Because I remember, like, Army and Navy were both looking good at the same time.
Yeah.
And then Notre Dame took them down.
Notre Dame whooped Navy.
Whooped
yeah.
them. And I remember doing the bit from SpongeBob. Not the Navy.
Oh man, that one hurt because it was just like, oh well, all of our fun Army Navy
fun's
undefeated
over.
When they play each other.
Fun's over.
And the Navy, I think, has lost twice since.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the fun from the first few weeks is gone. Army, though, keeping it up, which is interesting because Navy typically has been historically, they've got the quote-unquote better
teams. They've got the better teams, typically.
You know, the big years, it's Navy, not as much Army. And this is kind of cool.
Yeah, it's different.
Mm-hmm.
And if I want to watch video game numbers get put up that I can't even put up in a video game, I can watch Boise State and Ash and Jeanty against Wyoming.
He's going for the Heisman still. I think he needs
to have it.
It looks like Travis Hunter is probably going to win it.
He shouldn't. I think that if you're breaking records the way that G&T is, and if he threatens to get the single season record, I feel like that's an undeniable feather in your cap.
I can't argue
against that.
Yeah, I was wondering. I know the betting markets have Hunter as the likely favorite. I was thinking, though, if Boise State were to make the playoff, and Colorado doesn't.
Might help.
Let's say Colorado loses to Kansas this week. It's in Arrowhead Stadium as Kansas is building their new football stadium.
They're putting together a solid program again, I do believe.
They've got 3 wins this year.
Oh.
You're right.
I thought
Lance Leipold, you're right. Yeah. This year's been disappointing for them.
Oh.
But Colorado's only a 3-point favorite. If Colorado...
That would probably be why, though.
Yeah. If Colorado were to lose... And maybe go to 3, potentially 4 wins, because then on Black Friday they do play Oklahoma State. I think there's a real chance that G&T does get it, just because you're right. I mean, he's putting up record-breaking numbers. He's a lot of fun to watch. He's also sort
like
of
if
like
you
the
try to
perfect
play college,
running back size. He's like 5'8 and 200 pounds. He's awesome.
If you try in college football 25 to get as much rushing as G&T does...
You're forcing the ball.
You're not only forcing the ball to yourself, but also you're going to get taken out before you hit his numbers.
Yes. Yes.
Like, the computer will be like, no, you're done. You're tired.
He has been phenomenal to watch. And then of course, he's hilarious
how good he is.
Yeah, and he's at a program like Boise State. I think most people do like Boise.
Yes.
Especially, there's no real rooting interest here. It's just kind of, you remember the Fiesta Bowl against Oklahoma. I think they've had other big bowl games as well.
Yeah, they were when it was the BCS at its ugliest. Boise State and TCU were the yep. biggest challengers year by year of breaking that system up. And yep. and not, even now, like, they're number 12 in the country. They've got Wyoming. I do hope that...
Feels perfect that they might be there in the first big playoff.
It would fit.
It feels right that Boise will be the
original
five team.
Party crasher mm-hmm. joins the expanded playoff for the first time.
Feels right. Always right. wonder what would have happened
absolutely.
If when TCU made the jump to the Big 12 out of... I think they were in the Mountain West as well. If Boise State had gone from the WAC to the Pac-12, I don't know. I don't ever know how serious that was. But knowing, you know, TCU obviously able to make the four-team college football playoff, make the national championship, ultimately blown out by Georgia.
Yes.
But you wonder what would have happened if Boise State went to the Pac-12 when ultimately, during that time, USC's down, Oregon is up and down. They've got their moments.
Yes.
With Chip Kelly, but they were up and down.
Yeah, they were not consistent either.
If Boise could have grabbed onto that and ran with it.
They might have been able to, actually.
Because the Pac-12 was down at that point.
Yes. I do think that there's some real merit to that of, like, what would have happened if Boise actually made a jump to a different conference?
Now they technically are with the revamped Pac-12, but that's in a few years down the road.
That is. Hey, look at that, man. I probably helped you cure an itch of talking about college ball.
I'm always ready. I'm always ready.
No, I feel like this is nice. Like,
college ball. We have college basketball here on the TV and station. We got Florida Atlantic Drake and the Charleston Classic.
Yeah, and again, sometimes it's nice to mix it up. Sometimes it's nice to have something different to be able to talk about. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, this is supposed to be.
It helps too that the Bills aren't stressing me out. They aren't stressing out a lot.
There's nothing to ready. It's that there's no Bills, so we can look into other scopes of football and what it means for the rest of it.
Doesn't mean I'm scouting for the draft, though. Absolutely not. I have never felt more free than the last, like, 5 years where they're good. And I'm like, oh, I can worry about playoff football?
Oh, yeah. No, we have no draft coverage.
Let's go.
Like, basically none of us here have to do our draft work until the end of the season.
So nice. It's very free. It's very freeing.
Like, I will never forget. Like, that's kind of how this nightmare right here that you're listening to started getting some opportunities because I was scouting a lot with the draft. And now I kind of kick back and make hilarious parodies like Mock Draft Simulator.
I mean, that was my thing for years of getting into football was the Bills were going to be bad, but I was a huge college football junkie, and it was by November.
By November, they were dead in the drought.
And I was heavily watching college football, so I was like,
or they were in the hunt.
Yeah, now who do I want the Bills to go get? And for a long time, they didn't have a quarterback, so every year it was like, I've fallen in love with this guy, that guy. They never picked, like, any of them. The one year, I didn't like any of the quarterbacks, so, like, we're going to take one, EJ Manuel. And I'm like, come on. The one year, I'm like, I don't like any of these guys.
And then, of course, the year that they, of course, take Josh Allen, I was terrified of him. But I'd also said that the Bills were like the one place that he could go to be okay because, oh, you have Tyrod Taylor and, you know, you can cook him slow. And then they got rid of Taylor. And I'm like, oh, no.
Never mind. Nathan Peterman would be the greatest mentor ever. And you're like,
yeah.
I was always a Sam Darnold guy. I've been open about that. I was a huge Darnold guy.
I was on the Rosen train, unfortunately. You know, the guy that is not in the league.
He had a great game, though, against A&M, his senior final year at UCLA.
Yeah.
Awesome comeback. Totally should have thrown an interception. Just went right through Aggie's hand.
Yeah.
And as a Texas fan, that was kind of fun.
Yeah, so it's basically, what are you doing during the bye week? And, well, apparently from Zach and I, it's you want to watch college ball and you're trying to get it through it now because, well.
But I'm going to a wedding.
But you're going to a wedding and you sound.
I'm excited. No, it's going to be fun.
Yeah, I was going to say, you better not be salty while you're there.
No, it's a friend wedding too, so it's going to be.
Oh, so you're going to have fun.
I haven't seen a lot of people in a while, so it's like, oh, what's going on? It's going to be a lot of fun.
You know what you're going to get? Hey, I hear you all the time now.
Yeah, it does happen. Yeah.
But that's good.
A little weird. But yeah, no, it is nice.
It does feel weird, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Like,
it throws me.
Because we're not like morning show or afternoon drive. Like, we're not those guys. And it's always going to feel weird when someone goes, oh, yeah, man, I heard you. And like, you did? I'm sorry. Like,
I'm sorry. I'm going to start using that too. Like, no, man, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, sorry about that.
I'm sorry you went through that.
Sorry you had to go through that. That's what Paul was trying to protect everyone from.
What would you rather do? Listen to us or watch Marley and Me? Both are going to end in tears. It's good. It's good. You ever see Marley and Me? Great movie.
Yes.
Great movie.
But why would you say that? Both are going to end in tears.
For you.
Good Lord. I think that's time to get to a break. With that kind of, we're going to go to a break on that one. Dave, hang in there. We'll get to you on the bye week plans coming up next. As Derek Kramer, Zach Jones, we're in for you for One Bills Live today, and you're listening to WGR.
Weather conditions tonight. We're expecting winds up to 15 miles per hour in a wintry mix. How will that impact your ability to throw the ball?
I am so happy and grateful that the Lord has blessed me to play in some snow, to be in true football weather in Cleveland, Ohio at Huntington Bank Field today to get him the glory. It's a beautiful day.
Sure feels like you're playing in the AFC North.
It is. It's magical. Thank you.
Jameis Winston.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I feel like he's become a caricature of even himself now.
Yeah, a little bit.
Like, I think he knows that, like, it looks weird, and he's just going in on it.
The
more.
Biggest smile I've ever seen on somebody, though, was in that interview right there.
It's nice to see someone cheesing it, you know, in any kind of moment like that.
I bet you that was his first time ever playing football in the snow.
I believe it was.
Maybe it was.
Alabama High School, Florida College, Florida Pros, then New Orleans. I don't think he went anywhere else there. That could have been.
I mean, he had to have had a road game that may or may not have, maybe. I don't know. I'm too lazy to look it up. But Jameis Winston is definitely...
He's a character.
He's a character. I'll say that. For better or worse sometimes with his moments.
Yes.
But, you know, hey, that's just kind of who he is. Now, welcome back. Derek Kramer, Zach Jones. We're hanging out with you until 3 o'clock here, taking the place of One Bills Live for you on a Friday afternoon. So, you know, if you're a morning shifter, 9 to 5-er, getting ready to go waking up for your overnight shift, like, hey, we're here for you today, baby, in the midday, and I'm here for it. I love this. It's always fun. What are your plans for the bye week? 803-0550 is the number to call as we get connected with our fans. Once again, that is brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. We go to Dave. Dave, welcome in to Two Dudes.
Two Dudes Live.
Two Dudes Live.
Hey, happy to be on. Back to the Jameis Winston soundbite there. I think he was just happy to be there. Like a kid playing in snow for the first time. May or may not have been.
The look on his face. Yeah, it was like, telling that story. I
might have to stand down a little.
But my plans for the bye week, man, catching up on Premier League without worrying about pulling my hair out because of the Bills.
There you go.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right. Hopefully watching going. Carolina Panthers upset KC.
That's where we're all at.
There's always a chance.
Dave's right. I think we're all kind of there, too.
Appreciate it, Dave. Thank you.
They are part of the bad 1 o'clock window.
Yes,
like objectively
they are.
Bad 1 o'clock window.
Where it's a good team facing a very bad football team.
I think I'll be happy just because I like watching the Chiefs kind of struggle this year at times.
Yes.
It was frustrating because they were never losing, but now they've lost a game and it was to the Bills. I'm okay. I will also just kind of straight up enjoy them struggling potentially against Carolina, even if they win.
The fun narrative there is, did the Bills break the Chiefs?
If they lose, yes.
If they lose, it becomes, the national narrative can become, did the Bills break the Chiefs?
Because they just missed that with the 2020 Steelers.
Yes.
I know it's been a big,
It was the big comparison.
The big comparison between Kansas City this year. I know the Vikings from a few years ago, and then obviously the Steelers. They just missed out on the Steelers, though. Bills have actually been a part of all of these teams, though, these super lucky, close-score games, what have you. They lost to the Vikings in what ultimately was kind of that fluky, dark magic kind of vibe, where with the Steelers, they just missed them. They had lost to Washington the week prior, and then the Bills beat them, and then it was sort of like everyone kind of had this, okay, we knew they were bad. Now they're falling apart. They end up finishing, I think, 12-4 after starting 11-0.
Yes.
So, I mean, they fell apart.
Like, they lose to Cleveland. Apart, yes.
And then they lose to Cleveland in the playoffs. The Vikings kind of kept doing their thing. They ultimately, though, just fall in the playoffs to Daniel Jones' Giants.
And now that's
right
not
in the wild
thing.
Card. That's not even a thing anymore. Missed that, by the way, as well. Not really breaking news anymore. It's been about an hour. Daniel Jones has been released by the Giants. And that was the Giants also.
I think we need to talk about that.
But that was also the Giants, from reports I saw from guys like Jordan Schultz on NFL on Fox, saying that that was actually a request by Jones and his camp to get him to play football again this year.
Yeah, you're putting him on the practice squad. And even I saw reports about him playing snaps at safety for the practice squad.
100%.
And it's like, all right, come on. Like, it's clear you guys don't want to play him anymore. That's fine. But you don't have to do that to him.
I think that's just the way it goes, because I'm wondering if there's things in players' contracts of like, no, I need to have a certain amount of reps.
Yeah.
As the starting quarterback, I need to have a certain number of reps in practice. And they're like, cool, we're going to put you at practice.
We're going to fulfill our obligation.
You're going to be scout team safety. That's fulfilling our obligation. You won't get hurt. You're literally just going to be standing in the backfield, but you're not playing.
Yeah.
And I think that's what it is. You know, it's
so weird.
It's something to talk about, but it is also one of those. He was never that great at Duke. He was 6'5". He's a bigger guy, and he could ultimately move. We found that out with the Giants, but never once in his Giants career, outside of that maybe moment in the playoff game, a game I don't even remember him particularly playing that well.
It was Kirk Cousins coming undone.
That's his career. Is that first season with Brian Daboll? They make the playoffs. They win a game. He gets paid a ton of money. And no one thinks it's right. No one thought it was right when he was drafted where he was. No one thought it was right when he was paid. It was just it was a weird cluster.
It was a weird fascination with the Giants and Daniel Jones. Through two front offices.
I think because they saw Eli Manning. That was the joke at the time.
Starter?
I think they saw his personality.
Yeah.
And they loved it. They thought that's Eli, will be perfect, the whole thing. I mean, look, I give him a lot of credit yesterday, going out in front of the media and having kind of
that prepared statement,
words. Yeah. I give him a lot of credit for that. I think that's sort of what they saw, is a really good dude who can absolutely be the face of a franchise. And I think that's important. You do have to have the personality to be the face of a billion-dollar organization.
Yes, you do.
And he went out there, and I think he handled himself very well. I hope he's able to be a backup quarterback for a number of years here and give himself a solid career. But ultimately, he never really once looked like he was an ascending starting quarterback, ever.
No.
He had fleeting moments, like a 60-yard touchdown run, or making it to the playoffs and winning a game. But outside of that, he never appeared to be that guy.
No.
And I hope this doesn't cost Brian Daboll his job.
It will. That extension,
I agree,
cost Joe Shane and Brian Daboll their jobs. Undoubtedly, that's what's going to happen. They're going to start over truly.
I think Shane might get fired though for Saquon Barkley.
Yes.
I think that's where he's gone. I think Daboll not being able to make Daniel Jones, depending on how you feel about John Mara as the owner of
but
the Giants.
But also Shane's the GM that signs the contract.
Mm-hmm.
Even if he didn't necessarily want to.
He did.
He did it. And that's on you at that point.
And yeah, they tailspin right after the first year in 2020. 9-7-1.
And it's so easy to give yourself a hard reset with a new GM and a new coach and a new quarterback. All three components, you can now start fresh all at once.
Yep.
So, like, the Giants, it's going to be entirely this rebranding of their team. That it's weird that you actually should have picked the running back over the quarterback for once.
Yeah, because, like, almost any time, that is just not what you do.
Typically, it's just not the worst idea.
Mm-hmm.
But in that scenario, it was the right thing to do, was to pay Saquon and let Daniel Jones walk. And you draft a new quarterback. Instead of Malik Nabers, you're probably getting... Maybe I think it's Penix at that draft range, like possibly vault the Falcons.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then again, Atlanta did that out of surprise.
Yeah.
So they probably take J.J. McCarthy. Weren't they linked to him anyway?
They were somewhat linked to him and Drake May.
So
if you and Hard Knocks too, I remember that, like, how awkward that was.
Yes.
About watching Brian Daboll get very enamored by namely Drake May.
Yes.
And knowing Daniel Jones is still his quarterback. They were, of course, kind of linked to a lot of these guys, like J.J. McCarthy and Drake May. But it was interesting to see the cameras fully capture. No, this team, like, if Drake May fell, they were taking him.
Yes.
And they were already going to move off Daniel Jones. This whole year for them has felt awful.
Yes.
Because then watching Saquon Barkley go to one of your biggest division rivals.
But you also look at the sorry state of the roster that the New York Giants had. Mm-hmm. And it was all this was very much something that you could see from actual New York. Hey.
Yeah.
Is this the worst year of New York or New Jersey football?
Yes. Well, hang on.
Comparing both the Jets and the Giants, that's what I'm saying.
I'm going to say no, because
Rich Kotite was the coach of the Giants or the Jets for a while.
Yes, they've had some very brutal stretches.
Typically, though, the Giants have been the successful program.
Yes, they're kind of
the
like
Jets. They're very rarely bad together.
Well, yeah, the Jets have a 14-year playoff drought, and the Giants have sometimes made it. They've even won a Super Bowl within that window, I do believe. 2011. Yeah.
The last time the Jets made the playoffs was the last time the Giants won the Super Bowl.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's one of those things where, like, the Giants, it's like, oh, everyone could see this disaster coming, and it happened. Everyone saw this disaster coming, and oh, hey, look, the disaster.
It's bad. Yeah, it's bad.
The Flames a disaster.
Welcome to the not fun time.
Yes. So glad the Bills are not part of that misery.
They're just in a bad spot. Although, I mean, they could get the first overall pick. It's not a good quarterback class, though. That's why I've routinely sort of funny, but in all seriousness, too, I could see them going to get Sam Darnold.
Yes.
If they kept Brian Daboll, I could really see them giving a lot of money to Darnold in hopes that his career's been revived. We really liked what Daboll did in year one.
Yes.
Let's bring him in here.
But also, you want to start over. You want to start fresh.
Yeah.
And I think that, again, it would be a new GM, a new coach, a new quarterback. Even if this quarterback class is not as good, that's the only way that I think that, quite honestly, that Shane and Daboll keep their jobs.
Yeah.
For another year is lame duck status. You try to keep yourself afloat with like a Sam Darnold or something like that. But that's the only potential saving grace is if the scouting staff that you're about to fire probably says, no, this class is not good.
They're just in a really bad, I mean,
they're in a weird spot. And it's like you said, if it's not a strong quarterback draft class, there's trouble afoot.
Oh, yeah. Because so then you force one, and you're going to.
Here's what's going to happen when you force one. You ready? You're going to love me here saying this. Giants are probably going to pick like 7th overall, and they're going to take Quinn Ewers.
Mm-hmm. And that'd be a terrible spot for him to go. I'm not the biggest Ewers guy.
Yeah.
I am a Longhorns fan.
You have
fan.
Texted me routinely saying the variance between first round Quinn Ewers and day two Quinn Ewers is like staggering and frustrating, and you see it almost every game.
It's not even just day two. I mean, it's close to undraftable. There are times where you're just like, oh, he's just a good college quarterback. Cool, move on. Like and then there are days where you're like, there's the first round talent. His hope, I mean, Sean McVay, the Rams. He goes there. He's got a career. He's got a career.
And you'd be able to slow cook him a little bit with Matthew Stafford there still.
You throw him in with the Giants, who once they lost Andrew Thomas, their offensive line, which already was not very good, became
much worse.
I mean, much, much worse. His career will implode immediately. If he gets taken by them, you can chalk it up. It's done.
Yes.
Because that would be one of the worst situations for him to walk into.
Yeah.
And I'm not even the biggest Quinn Ewers fan. I think he can have a career with the Rams. I think he has no chance with the Giants.
Rams is a fascinating answer. I like that, though.
Thank you.
It'd be very interesting to see what like the actual NFL draft season has, just for intrigue around the league.
I am enjoying the number one overall pick race. Like that will also be a reason why. Watch football this Sunday is just because there's no clear cut number one overall pick.
Also, I give the Giants way too much credit. They are at 2-8. They're
alive in there.
They are currently in the top five. The Jaguars technically at 2-9, having played one more game.
You look at it too. Might be a big reason why they're starting Tommy DeVito and not Drew Lock.
Yeah, that is absolutely the reason they're doing that.
Is the feeling Drew Lock might give you something. DeVito probably won't. I don't want to say that convincingly because when he came in, I mean, there's a reason why we all know who Tommy DeVito is. He was playing good, okay football.
He was
for
playing
a while. Mike White with the Jets from a few years ago.
No, Mike White actually had 300 yard
oh,
games.
Oh, that's right. No, that's right. You're right.
Yep. Mike White almost looked like he was going to take over that franchise, and then Matt Milano broke him like a like one of those like
I mean
glow sticks.
Oh yeah. Oh. I'm still so surprised the flag was not thrown on that for the sheer fact of, of how hard he was hit.
Just how hard he was hit, yeah.
It's
like, that's intense.
There's always one of those where it's like, and the flag, the sound it
like,
made.
Like, that's a pity flag right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, the sound that made was not healthy.
No. But, and now he's a, Bill.
Yeah. But the Giants are in a bad spot. And he I understand this
The
move.
Best part is he even made a joke about that when he signed here.
He did.
And that was
which
like,
is nice.
That's someone knowing, like, yeah, that's being real.
Mm-hmm. The Giants, though, are also eating the $20 million in dead cap as well. I mean, like,
yeah.
This is and I'll give them credit again like I gave Jones yesterday. This is them doing right by a player.
Yes.
He was always a good, you know, quote-unquote servant to them.
Yeah, he didn't
goes
wanna,
there. He took the heat right away.
It would have been 7 weeks of this
mm-hmm.
for Daniel Jones, and that's just embarrassing.
And, like, he's going to clear waivers because you can't pick up that contract. Are you kidding me?
No.
He'll clear waivers on Monday, and you'll get somebody like Dallas or the Giants, or the Jets that will pick him up. For very cheap.
If the Jets pick him up, I will lose all control laughing.
I could totally see them picking him up. I could totally see
it. For what? To bench Rodgers?
Yep. Yep. They have an interim head coach and GM. They are so done with Rodgers. There's no way.
Yeah.
There's no way. I could totally see them just going, like, go grab Daniel Jones.
And their owner wants to get rid of Rodgers.
I did see that report, but, like, I don't know, man. There's no way he doesn't let that go.
Cool. We're 3-6, brother. Bye.
You know, 3-8. Get
3-8. Yeah. We're not even any good. Bye.
Right, so
this has been one of the most embarrassing eras of Jets football. I complain.
And that's saying something.
Yeah. Complain. I don't care. You were a big part of it.
Yeah. The thing is that, again, they could still convince themselves, like, you're three games out with seven to go, and you have a bad schedule coming up here. Like, you can try to convince it as much as you can. Like, the Jets are in this weird state.
Yeah.
But
they've still only won three games, and they've fired basically anyone of
anyone
consequence.
That isn't Rodgers.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he would be essentially the next
head. He's the next guy. And he's 40. Yeah. And he can't move.
Oh, you hate to see it. Hate to see it. You hate to see it.
And, again, Woody Johnson is one of those owners. He listens to ESPN. He listens to Fox Sports. He hears how people talk about his quarterback and being the he caused most of these issues.
He fired Robert Saleh because he was embarrassed mm-hmm. by the team and how his buddies probably portrayed him.
Rodgers has been nothing but an embarrassment up to this point.
Yes. Especially because he keeps saying something.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to go on the Pat McAfee
show. At some point, shut up.
Yeah. It's not going well at
all. Just, yeah. Like, I don't know what you can do at that point to, yeah, anyway.
I wish you guys would shut up.
Mm-hmm. I got the Weiner line voice on point today, baby.
Never part of the Weiner liner.
Good.
I was gone by the time I got here.
Good. 803-0550 is the number to call. Do you have plans for the bye week? What do you think about the Bills at the bye? How you feeling about them as well? Anything general that you want to talk about football-wise here, we're here with you because we want college ball. We talked about the Jets and the Giants just now. Everything is on the table, including the surge that the Bills will predictably go on when the calendar hits December. We'll have that at the top of the hour here for you on WGR. Last segment of hour number one here. Oh my God, I need to stop doing this.
Dare forgot it's broke again.
I'm going to like accidentally rip the station apart, and it's not my fault.
That's right. It's not your fault.
It is not my fault.
That's right.
I like having it nearby. I don't want to have to lean into it. Like, it has the arm. The mic should come to me.
Yeah, not today, no.
No, nope. Not today. I'm fighting for it today.
It's good that you haven't had to, like, totally rip off, though, and, like, it's just, like, there's no recovering it for the segment.
But it looks like it's fairly wedged in.
Yeah.
This base is wedged in here. So, like, now I'm just holding it down, and I'm kidding. Tom Maddie, our engineer, staring at me. Oh, no, I'm in danger.
He didn't look thrilled.
No, he didn't.
He didn't look thrilled. No. I mean, hands on his hips, the whole thing.
Like, staring legitimately daggers. Disappointed in me.
He's going to see that off-air light go off.
Oh, boy.
And it's on.
Yeah. I might not be here for hour two.
staring daggers.
Tom's gonna kick my butt.
So one interesting point, because we were talking about Daniel Jones there, Derek, and you brought it up right as we were coming back in, and I didn't even hesitate either.
I didn't even ask the question. I said, Daniel Jones has been released. Huh. And then you just said, yes. Which implies what we were thinking on the telepathic communication is, would you sign Daniel Jones as a backup quarterback today for the Buffalo Bills? And I would say, undoubtedly, yes. It would be an upgrade over Mitchell Trubisky. He played in a playbook that has wrinkles to a playbook you now currently have, the Brian Daboll playbook. So I don't know if the learning curve is going to be that drastic for him under Joe Brady to be the backup.
You can make it work.
And, oh, by the way, if I'm Daniel Jones's agent, I go, this is a great way to revive your career because Mitchell Trubisky got to start for the Steelers after signing with Buffalo. Sam Darnold, starting in San Francisco, starting in Minnesota, doesn't happen if he doesn't take a backup job with San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
And, okay, neat. Good teams are able to put this good word in there for you, and you don't even have to do anything. You just have to be there.
Yeah, you just have to be there.
You just got to be there, sit, chill, maybe get a backup rep or two in a blowout.
Look okay in the preseason sort of deal.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, that actually is a great way for someone like Daniel Jones to revive his career, is to sit behind someone like a Josh Allen.
And just realistically have the Bills camp. I mean, you have to work, don't get me wrong, but have the Bills camp kind of tout to other teams. No, Jones is looking good.
He looks good. He's a great guy.
He's eating the playbook up. He knows what he's doing.
He's a student of the game.
Yeah.
You know, everything like that. And as long as you're able to reel it in and be that backup, that's a great way to do it.
I wouldn't be against him. I wanted them to upgrade a backup quarterback. I'd like him to go get a young rookie in like the seventh round that
he
can sort of build up and eventually use his like trade
Which
capital.
Which they, funny enough, tried with
Jake Fromm.
Yeah, Jake
Fromm.
Who
had no
business being drafted.
NFL traits. So they did kind of the opposite of what I wanted them to do. But the next best
Who
thing for me.
Who then started games for the Giants, by the way.
Yeah, but the next best thing for me there is then this young guy trying to revive his career who you know can start games in the NFL.
All right. We're going to get to a break here. Ryan, Noah, we see you here. We'll get to you on the other side as we get hour number two of Derek Kramer, Zach Jones, hanging out with you on a Friday afternoon. You're listening to WGR.
I wanted to play. I want to play. I want to be on the field. You know, I tried to do as much as I could to make that possible and create a situation where we were both comfortable. But, you know, I think, you know, most of those discussions went on, you know, with my agent and with Joe. And, yeah, you know, I want to play. I want to be on the field. But it's an unfortunate business side of the game.
That was Daniel Jones. And, Zach, you saw something pretty interesting heading into this segment literally 45 seconds ago.
Yeah, so we were talking a little bit about there of him playing scout team safety and kind of is essentially like, why?
Yes.
What's he doing? I mean, they have the injury settlement.
Why are they doing this to him?
Yeah. Mike Garafolo of NFL Network, he tweeted this out saying, context on Daniel Jones serving as the scout team safety the other day. He volunteered, sources say. The Giants needed bodies on defense for the walkthrough. He went out there on his own trying to help out. Every indication I've gotten, this is from Garafolo again, is he handled this week with class.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's what I was saying
that makes
about
sense,
his prepared words as well. Is I think he has handled this week And really kind of the I would almost say everything really well.
Yes.
Really, really
and
well.
And it's good to see.
Because he had to go through some hell the moment he got drafted by the Giants. Really, the moment he got drafted. And it ultimately didn't work out. People were right. But he handled it well. And that's where I do hope he has a somewhat successful career down the line.
Hey, do you know we're also jumping on this trend with Blue Sky too?
Oh,
giddy up. Yeah, we can go ahead and the station probably will be eventually as well, but you and I both have.
Yeah.
So if you're also on there and you want to see us posting stuff there, mine is just, it's at Derek Kramer. I got there first.
There you go.
I got there first. I don't have a number or anything.
Yeah,
I'm good.
At Zach Jones Sports, so it worked out.
Yeah.
Are we just going to go with posts?
Yeah, they're posts.
I don't know. Because even Twitter now has changed his name, but everyone says it's like tweets.
I still call it that.
Yeah, it's going to be tweets forever.
Yeah, I'm still going to be on Twitter, mostly because, I mean, it's at this point, it's a habit that's never going to die for me, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
But I am still going to call it Twitter, though. So I will rebel in that way. Try me, Elon.
Yeah.
You rude
Want to get some phone calls here?
Yeah, let's get some phone calls, and we'll get connected with our fans. It's brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. We'll go to Ryan in Toronto. Ryan, how are you doing today? Good afternoon.
Zach, Derek, love the show. Happy Friday, boys.
Happy Friday. Thank
you, happy Friday to you.
First of all, Zach, my man, pleasure talking to you on the other side of the glass, my man. So I want to talk about the Jets and maybe Danny Jones going to the Jets. How do you guys feel about this scenario? Jets going after Sam Darnold and trading away Aaron Rodgers to the Minnesota Vikings. I know that's probably the same thing. He came from Green Bay to Jets, and then he went to the Vikings. I could see the same thing happening with Aaron Rodgers. Your thoughts?
Ryan, I appreciate the call.
I love, 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 and I never will not, the idea of Darnold walking back in kind of
all the power.
Like the Thanos moment in the MCU of like, what have you done and what did it do? It brought you back to me.
Yes.
Deeply love that.
Here
because
for
it would
that.
Just be funny. It makes no sense for the Vikings. The
Brett Favre arc cannot happen here.
Yeah, it cannot happen. The Vikings are actually a really good spot compared to when they got Favre. They were desperate for a quarterback play. Ultimately, it worked too. Favre ultimately had years left to play. His biggest problem with the Jets is he got hurt and then kept trying to play.
Yep.
They were 8-3 when he got hurt and then the season kind of fell away. They were a really, really good football team with Favre to start. The Jets have been the exact opposite. Rodgers doesn't look like he has almost anything left in the tank. And then for the Vikings, I can't see them. The biggest thing here for a backup quarterback, they cannot be too loud. Cam Newton, on his own podcast, I am blanking on the name, Derek. Fourth and One.
It's a great podcast, by the way.
Yeah, we both love it, but he has openly said, like, he knows why his career ended. You cannot be that loud of a backup quarterback. You can't. The starter has to be the face, not the backup. Aaron Rodgers.
Which is why, effectively, like, Tim Tebow as a quarterback died.
But yeah, a perfect example. Tim Tebow never really could play. But he was a lout, and not to his own. It was not his fault. Mm-hmm. It was whenever Tim Tebow did anything, the media jumped on it. Why? He was popular in college slash also hated.
Another name on this one, Colin Kaepernick.
Colin Kaepernick, absolutely.
Like,
sadly,
teams were terrified of that idea because a backup quarterback would be loud, and it was. I for one will still say, you know, I'm proud of what he was doing.
Yeah, don't get me wrong.
But that's
I'm not exonerating. Yeah, I'm not exonerating all owners. No. But that played into it. And
but like that's why you see it happening with like notable names not becoming backup quarterbacks is because they're too loud.
Yeah, and
Aaron Rodgers is going to fade into obscurity here because of what he's doing.
And I think the other big thing too, and why teams, I think especially wouldn't do it, especially even trading, like Ryan was bringing up there too, he won't do it gracefully.
No.
Like, where
he'll jump on Pat McAfee and just like. Like poop on the entire organization.
I still think I can start. I still think I can do this, that, and everything. And if J.J. McCarthy, because that's likely what the Vikings are going to do.
Yes.
Sam Darnold's on a one-year deal. He's likely going to hit free agency, go get
and
a big payday.
And they know he's going to get payday.
And J.J. McCarthy, they've been able to sit here. Hopefully he's healthy. I mean, he had a second knee operation. Doesn't sound like it affected his long-term recovery. But the hope was that he sat here, learned the offense, grew up a little bit. He's young. He's 21 years old coming as a quarterback.
Yes.
Even after his junior year, he was young starting in Michigan. The hope is then he absorbed enough, he's going to come in and start. If he struggles, though, to begin the year next year or what have you, and all of a sudden Rodgers is back at quarterback.
Good luck.
Good luck. And the Vikings, I think, are too smart. They're really, really well run.
The
I
last
love
thing
everything
any
they're
team
doing
wants
there.
Is their backup quarterback jumping on Pat McAfee every week.
Yeah. It's
no, thank you.
And that, for me, is actually where I know it's an old saying, and it means something different, but when you have two quarterbacks, you have none.
Yes.
That's more my biggest thing. If you have any kind of quarterback competition in terms of like the QB is causing maybe a split down the locker room, what have you, you've got a problem.
You got a problem.
And that's where, for me, the two QBs equals none. No quarterback is going to come into the Bills locker room and all of a sudden have guys go, you know,
hey,
maybe he's better than Josh. But early on in his career, when there was talk of maybe Cam Newton being the Bills backup quarterback, I know Bulldog was against it. I was against
it. This year's Cleveland Browns.
This year's Cleveland Browns. Jameis Winston.
Because Deshaun Watson was cheeks.
And Jameis Winston had a lot of fun tape. You knew he wasn't going to be great, but he's probably going to be better than this. And he was a really good. I mean, it doesn't necessarily always have to be a negative connotation. We're using a lot of the negative, you know, examples here. But I think Winston's a positive one where it's just, yeah, but the locker room loved him. And he is still a solid quarterback. He's not terrible.
Oddly enough, the Atlanta Falcons are kind of pushing away from that. Two QBs thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they drafted Penix, but Cousins has been fine.
Yeah.
He's been good enough, at least, for them to be in first place in the NFC South.
Yeah.
But it still doesn't mean that it's a good mix.
No. They need to figure that out.
They need
quickly.
To figure that out. So, there it is. So, thank you, though, Ryan. Appreciate the call. Go to Noah out in Maine. Noah, good afternoon. How you doing?
Well, it's great to hear from you.
Good to hear from you. Let's see what you got.
Yeah, so I had a general point, and then I had a more specific one about the Bills. My general point is, last night watching that game with the snow, I mean, I felt like Jameis. I had so much gratitude watching that game. Just probably my favorite game of the year to watch that wasn't a Bills game. Snow football is just awesome. So that needed to be said at some point here. My point about the Bills, I mean, last night, I feel like my favorite part about that game was, I think we just had kind of front row seats to what the Bills offense was last year. I mean, you had Dorsey calling the plays for Jameis. And I'll tell you what, guys, I mean, watching every Bills game this year and then watching how Dorsey sort of rolled out the offense yesterday. I mean, the difference between Brady and Dorsey is so stark. And I will say, you know, the Browns did have success yesterday, even with Dorsey calling the plays. And I think you could even make the case that Jameis and Dorsey are kind of a match made in heaven, just the way Dorsey kind of operates the offense. But my main point is this. I mean, I'm watching Dorsey call these plays, and there's just very little, and I think this was an issue last year with Dorsey. I mean, there's just very little sequencing of the plays going on besides the singular play that's being called. What I mean by that is, you know, you see Joe Brady mix things up, and I know fans are annoyed at how much we ran the ball into sort of brick walls against the Chiefs on Sunday. But, you know, there's more of a game plan, and there's more of a, hey, we're good at this, and we're going to, you know, sequence it up and mix it up a little more. And, you know, we want to run the ball, and we're not going to shy away from it. Where if you watch last night with Dorsey, I mean, I just thought there was really no game plan in that game except, hey, Jameis, why don't we hit you with three straight play action passes, which is great. You know, I love hammering the pass button. I think Dorsey does too. That's what he did a lot last year. But I just think the difference between the coordinators is so stark. And listen, it worked out for Jameis. I mean, you know, we had that pick and then the illegal touching, which I think was a little, that was a questionable call in my opinion. So you can see the downside of what Dorsey brings to the table. But I mean, man, Joe Brady, like, there's just more of a, it feels more of a real offense with Joe Brady compared to what I saw with Dorsey last night. And I think what you'll continue to see with Dorsey, I mean, he's telling Jameis to throw, which is awesome. Like, it's great TV, but as a football team, I mean, come on, like, let's give the ball to Nick Chubb a little more. That guy was running wild last night. You know, I know his yards per carry don't back it up, but that's kind of my point, fellas. I'd love to hear what you have to say about that. Thanks.
Noah, I appreciate that. And two things. One, thank you for vindicating every ounce of salt that I had about Kenneth Dorsey last year. Yeah, when I was continuing to call him by a full name basis, that's how annoyed I was getting with Dorsey until he eventually got canned. I got to a point where I could not stand Dorsey last year, and he was Kenneth. He was not Ken. He was not Kenuff. He was Kenneth. Like, that was it. Like, I'd had my fill of Kenneth Dorsey last year. Mm-hmm. And now, like, Cleveland fans have been saying effectively the same thing.
Especially once Kevin Stefanski gave up the play calling duties. That was a big thing, yes, to start the year as well, is that Dorsey wasn't even calling the plays. He was just there.
But secondly, it also tells you just how awful Deshaun Watson was.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stefanski kind of wanted to wipe his hands clean of this and say, this ain't my fault.
This ain't me, guys. Come
this
on.
Ain't me. And then Watson goes out with injury while Dorsey's calling the plays. Mm-hmm. But it's still Stefanski being able to go, hey, none of this is my fault.
Yeah.
I've had to start Deshaun Watson, the worst quarterback in the National Football League, who's also, by the way, a terrible person.
Yes. I will push back on one thing with Noah, though, because I agreed with basically everything else. It is the Nick Chubb point. I love him. There is a certain point where it was not working.
He was
averaging 3 yards per carry.
He was perfect for that game, though.
That game, yes.
Of the snow, the tough conditions. You want to grind something out. Nick Chubb is your guy to do that.
Yep.
I will not argue with the points he got me in fantasy last night.
Well, the 2 touchdowns help.
Because I'm an idiot, and I have 4 Bills on my roster.
Ooh, that's tough.
It's dumb.
That's tough.
It's actually kind of like not smart, and also I had Ja'Marr Chase. So like I have like no team this week.
I want to guess the players now. Alan Cook,
mm-hmm.
Shakir.
Yep.
Put a flyer on Coleman?
Yeah.
Giddy up.
I'm a complete moron.
There we go. But no, it's a flyer on Coleman. I get it.
But Nick Chubb, you know, kind of helped back it up.
I had the two touchdowns helped. Again, it's 3 yards per carry since yes. he got back from injury. 3 yards per carry flat last
especially
night.
Especially his first game when Watson got hurt.
Yeah.
Nick Chubb was dreadful after he scored a touchdown.
And to be fair, I mean, he's coming back from a gruesome injury. That's why I don't want to criticize him too much.
I do think he could use some time, like a little bit more carries, try to get into a rhythm again.
Mm-hmm.
So that might be the part of it. But thank you, Noah. I appreciate that call. And yeah, I think it's fun sometimes to be able to watch a game without any stakes to it. That said, this Sunday, nah, man. I don't need to be bothered with it.
But no, I mean this. But this is where I do enjoy watching football with like the very little stress aspect. Like
yes.
I'm going to watch Patriots Dolphins with very little rooting interest either way because it's not like I'm sitting here going, oh, I really need this game to go the Bills' way so that they're more comfortable in the AFC East chase. It's like yeah, no,
there's no point.
I mean, if the Patriots win, I think maybe they'll clinch it a week earlier.
Yes,
there doesn't feel this dread. Of, all right, I really need something from a bad football team. Look, would it be cool?
It's because the Bills are 9-2.
Yeah, but even you go to the one seed. Would it be really cool if Carolina could beat Kansas City? Sure. I don't anticipate it. And to be fair, I look at the rest of their schedule and go, they still got the Chargers. They still got the Steelers. Last night was standing. I still kind of like them as a team. They've still got, I am blanking, Denver. They've got some difficult games. Denver at home, and they had to block a field goal to win.
And if I'm Kansas City, though, I'm still not scared of any of them.
No, and I think that's absolutely correct. But for I think both teams, it is truly, you know, we've taken a lot of calls on it last week, going into this week.
But then again, Chiefs fans got in their feels about actually losing a football game.
Well,
yes,
but
I kind of understand their arrogance at that point.
And you know what, though, this is a big point too, coming
because they were trying.
Well, yeah, of course, they didn't actually use Travis Kelce. But maybe another reason why this is not as stressful. What are the Bills doing? They're getting healthier.
Yes.
We didn't add another name after the Kansas City game going, I just hope next week when the injury reports first come out that this guy's fine.
It was also immediate dividends
mm-hmm.
because Shakir and Dawkins had gone out on, like, I think it was like 2 of 3 plays.
Yeah.
So, like, you're looking at two key cogs and you're like, oh boy, hopefully there's nothing long term there. And they were back on that drive.
Mm-hmm. And you were kind of like,
and then
okay,
immediately Sean McDermott says, yeah, they're both all right.
Even there was questions in the postgame, I think it was about Allen's hand, and he was like, I haven't heard anything.
Yeah.
So it was like, oh, okay, cool. Never mind. We're fine.
Everything's fine.
And look, they may not get everybody healthy back, you know, for San Francisco, but it's trending that way.
And that's fun.
Yeah.
To think about, like, and that is why, by the way, you never complain about the training staff. Like, just don't do it.
It's a lot of luck. Ton of luck. They were very lucky.
Like anyone that
early
complains
in
about
his career,
anyone that complains about training staffs, you don't. I don't want to say flat out that you don't know ball, but it's a physical game played by human beings still, and a body can only take so much punishment before bad luck takes over, or even one wrong play happens.
It's an easy button to push. I'll
like
always
Matt
understand
Milano
it.
Got hurt in practice.
Yeah, there's nothing much the training staff could have done there.
Like that's
I don't
just
really
bad
understand
luck.
It, yeah.
Like that's just that's just how it is it's bad luck.
But speaking of the bad luck, especially late in the seasons, we've talked about the last 2, maybe even 3 years, they dealt with bad injuries come playoff time. They have still been one of the most dominant teams in December and January to finish out regular seasons over the last 4 or 5 years. Derek, do you know what their record is in December from 2020? So when Allen
do I have
and
a number of games
sent,
that I can predict this record, or am I going to have to make
21.
You do some?
21.
There's 21 games here since 2020, right?
This is 2020 into finishing out last year.
For 21 games, I need to know the record of them in December and January. I'm going to say there's like 4 losses in there.
They're 19-2.
Oh my God! I was going to say 17-4, which is sick on its own.
Both those losses come in 21.
Oh, the New England
yep.
and
the wind game?
The wind game and the game against the Bucks.
Yeah.
Bingo. And most Bills
Good
fans will
Lord.
Tell you after that overtime loss to Tampa, they actually fixed themselves.
Yes, and they did. And they started playing some of their best football. Because that's what the Bills do in December and January while the regular season closes, is they are closers.
And to
like
that
if anyone's
well.
Ever seen the show Suits, Harvey Specter, greatest closer, Buffalo oh, Bills yeah. right now. When it comes to the season on its end, they are the Harvey Specter.
But to that point, too, of being closers, those two games they lost in 21 were to open December. They end that year, as many people do know, on a four-game win streak.
They went. They ended on a tear.
So it wasn't like they like picked up those losses so you and also, kind of went back and forth.
Also, those losses were a literal act of God.
Win game.
With a wind game. And the referees missing so many blatant PI calls that could have changed the direction of that
game.
That's
right. Yes.
Yes.
That's right. I blanked that.
Stephon Diggs got hauled down.
Mm-hmm.
And they did not throw a flag as the Bills were trying to get themselves a chance to win it. Instead, they have to go to overtime.
Yep. But they go on runs to end years, and now their next game is going to be starting December against the 49ers team, which, again, we've brought up. Brock Purdy got an MRI today on his shoulder. He's tracking to play against Green Bay. That's not something you want to see, though, if you're a 49ers fan.
No.
On like, a Friday.
Not him, too.
Yeah.
That's basically it, because like San Fran has been going through the gamut
mm-hmm.
of injuries this year. The last thing I need to see as a 49ers fan, when your team is sitting at 5-5, one game back of the NFC West, but also you're clinging on to your playoff lives at this point, is, oh, not him too. It is harder for them right now to get a wild card spot in the NFC than it is to win the NFC West.
Yeah.
Because Green Bay, Minnesota, mm-hmm. and Washington mm-hmm. exist.
Yep.
Like, the NFC North being so strong this year has kind of cut the wild card out from everybody else. And
it's
Washington,
win the division or not.
Yeah. It's either you're going to win the division or you're out of the playoffs. And that's the same for the Buccaneers.
So cool.
And whoever else is clawing their way. Because who are 8, 9, and 10 in the playoff race in the NFC? L.A., Seattle, San Fran.
Man.
So.
My goodness.
And they're all sitting at 5-5. Tampa Bay is only alive because they're a couple games back, or a game and a half back, I should say, mm-hmm. of Atlanta. That's it. The playoff picture in the NFC has been decided outside of the crowns of the South and the West.
Yep.
Like, they know what they are at this point. Like, we talked about how, like, kind of lockstep the AFC playoff picture is. No, the NFC's is basically written in pen.
Yeah.
The teams that are making it, we know probably six of them, if Atlanta holds true. The only one we don't know is the winner of the West.
Yeah, that's it.
Like, in the AFC, at least I can say maybe there's some drama at the end for the seven seed.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there's some sort of drama between the Colts and the Texans. But really, they're all fighting for one spot, that last wild card. And in the NFC, it's the same thing. And I'm not even saying maybe. There is one fight that has to be done, and that's the NFC West.
And we're going to have one of the better matchups this week.
But that's also disgusting, though. Circling back to the Bills' record, though, how they close. And that's the one thing that I think, like, I don't have much hope about the one seed.
Mm-hmm.
But the way they close seasons is where I'm going to be willing to listen. Because they do storm their way into the playoffs. They always come in hot.
Mm-hmm.
That's the other thing, is that that's typically dangerous.
They typically do get hot at the right time. I would argue, again, I've made this point a lot. I'd argue their biggest problems have been health and poor matchups. They have not really gotten lucky in terms of the playoffs. They have a few, don't get me wrong. They've played third string quarterbacks, you know, Miami, Skylar Thompson.
Yes.
Don't get me wrong. They've also lost their middle linebacker in a wild card game.
Two of them
in blowout wins over Pittsburgh. They lose to Rob Bernard.
And they lose Baylen Spector that same game.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem.
That's not luck. That's awful.
It is luck. It's awful luck.
Yeah.
That is, on a metaphorical D20, you rolled a one.
They come in playing hot, and then I would argue injuries, and then, yes, 13 seconds, bad coaching decisions have more burned you than anything else. And right now, I think they have a very favorable schedule to end the year outside of Detroit, and even then, I'm excited for that game. I want to see how they handle them, because Detroit the last few weeks has had the bonus of we get ahead early and we can just lean on you with our two-headed monster at running back.
Yes. And if the Bills can dictate something different, you're allowed to keep it close. So yeah, it's weird to look at a playoff field that, like, considering what last year was, and the Bills came back from the brink around this time, by the way, where they stormed through December and January.
Mm-hmm.
And they had to.
But there was also the drama within the AFC South. The Jaguars choke it away with the Texans. And the Bills go ahead and storm their way back. And the Steelers make a playoff spot. There, I don't know if there's any of that drama that's going to happen this year outside of fighting for literally two places in the National Football League. The NFC West and the AFC Wild Card 3.
That's so good.
It's weird.
It's good.
The drama is going to be about seeding.
Mm-hmm. But I think it's also to a point I brought up with Josh, and we brought up yesterday as well. The top end of the AFC, arguably,
you said this yesterday with me too,
dipped.
Yeah.
But I would also say the bottom, or like the more mediocre, has risen so that there's a more, it's a more aggressive middle ground.
The thing
and that's
is
where you're getting the seeding. We know the good teams. We know the teams that can make the playoffs.
I don't know if we've seen a year where the good teams are good and the bad teams are bad, and they're very much equal on par with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Because you look at the top of the NFL and you think, okay, the Bills, the Chiefs, I mean, those two are going to always be able to duke it out. The Steelers are winning games. The Texans have beaten the Bills. The Ravens have beaten the Bills. Oh, the Ravens also lost to the Chiefs, but they also, for some reason, lost to the Raiders. Why did that happen? But Baltimore could also run over whoever they want if they're feeling it that day. The Chargers, they slow down literally anyone and everyone. They bring your team into the mud where they like to play.
Mm-hmm.
And then the NFC, the Lions, the Eagles, you know that they're those teams. The Vikings and Packers are trading blows. The Commanders have been in almost every game that they've had this year, if not won them. The good teams are good. And then the bad teams. How many 3-7 or 2-8 teams do we have here?
It's a lot. That's why the number one
we have
pick
five,
race is fun.
Five teams with only two wins this year in week 11. After week 11, I should say.
I do enjoy that.
And then you throw in the three-win teams, and it's you're adding, what, mm-hmm. two, three, four more. You've got nine teams with three wins or less. Like, very solidified in where the good teams are good, and there are only teams scraping out for an NFC West spot or an AFC Wild Card 3. This year is weird.
It's fun, though.
It's fun.
It's because it comes in.
It's a different kind of fun.
It's a different kind of fun, but it comes in when the Bills were arguably, I mean, by most accounts, in a quote-unquote transition year.
And the maximum amount of chaos that's going to be unleashed is going to be January. That's the thing. Where the fun is.
I also brought up the Pittsburgh and Minnesota, how they both were lucky teams, and what happened to the wild card round, they both lost in the playoffs.
Yes.
I'm not saying the Chiefs are going to lose, but they've been compared to those teams now for a few weeks.
And the thing about trying to get the one seed is, well, you can avoid getting that trip up, even with the Bills.
Yep.
Because no team is immune to this work
mm-hmm.
of just how good the top has been this year and how balanced the top has been. They've been definitively written in concrete, but they're all fighting with each other. The good teams are good and the bad teams are bad. And that line has never been more visible.
Mm-hmm.
803-0550, the number to call. Adam, hang in there. We'll get to you on the other side. Derek Kramer, Zach Jones, we're just two dudes live here with you up until 3 o'clock here on WGR.
Question for you with the mentality of this team, though. Do you feel like you need the one seed?
Anything to help, I would say yes. If the previous years we have not ever had the one seed and we had the results that we had, I mean, let's see what happens when we do have a different type of outcome or with the result of having the one seed. It could change the whole dynamic of what's going to happen. Maybe we've always needed that extra break. Who knows? The Chiefs always got it and they've always won. So who knows?
That was the left tackle, Deion Dawkins.
Still my favorite person to hear talk on the Bills.
He's got to be one of the best personalities, though. Though I got to say, if he stays here longer than these couple of years, Matt Collins might get up there. Like, I hope he's here for more than 1 year. I really do.
I do, too, because you're right. Like, he's the fun personality, and when he's in his appropriate role, he does it very, very well.
He's a great wide receiver 3 in a pinch.
Yeah.
But he's also very comfortable for being a wide receiver 4, special teams contributor. But also, the last 3 weeks, he's been very good for them.
Oh, my gosh.
Against Indianapolis, yeah. He was great. Against Miami, he was drawing penalties and catching a touchdown.
But I think that's the thing. Once you're able to get him in his appropriate role, good. Once he had to serve as your wide receiver two, arguably at times one, that was the issue.
That was the issue, and injuries did play a role in that. But I will also say this. I think the chemistry is there now because the target efficiency is rivaling Shakir's. Whereas that Houston game, that percentage of targets to completions with him was dreadful.
Yeah.
And like it was always rocky to start the season with those two. But now it looks like he's acclimated to Allen. And the targets that are being thrown his way, he's reeling them in. And that's the kind of production you need from any wide receiver, not just one, two, three. Like, it doesn't matter where you are in the depth chart. If you're able to bring in targets efficiently, you're going to see the football more.
We do have some news for the Sabres as well. We want to get to your calls, Adam. We'll get to you here in a second. But news on the Sabres, again, they are playing tonight at 10 o'clock against Anaheim. Tage Thompson was taking morning skate, not taking part in line rushes.
Okay.
Lance Lysowski saying this does appear he'll be out again tonight.
Yeah, that's rough.
Does make sense with the back-to-back.
It does make sense with a back-to-back.
Josh, I think, brought this up, and he was spot on, too. You wouldn't play him the first game of a back-to-back. You'd likely play the second game.
Yes, unless he was fully healthy to do so with both.
Mm-hmm.
But considering they've been bringing him along slow, that is... Because I'd watched a video, and it looked like he was taking part in line rushes, but that is not the case here.
Yeah, it sounds like it was more just he's skating around with everybody.
He's skating in drills, and it's got a good intensity to it. But unfortunately, yeah, I thought it was line rushes. It is not. Good thing I didn't say anything publicly about that.
Until now.
Now I'm going to admit I have egg on my face. Hey, look at the egg on my face. UPL and net tonight, though, for Sabres and Ducks. 10 o'clock tonight.
9 p.m. Yep,
9 p.m. pregame. The Steve Foley Law pregame show starting at 9 o'clock with Brian Koziel, Paul Hamilton, who's had a busy day today.
He's doing okay. He's fine.
I should jump on the mic and make them late.
He's fine.
Just come in here at like 8:30.
Hey, boys.
For no reason. Turn on a mic and be like, oh, sorry, guys. Paul stole some minutes from us.
I'm here to do the same.
I'm here for my vengeance.
Never forget.
That would be a brand of petty I don't think I could even aspire to.
Yeah, no, well, I also like the idea of then coming back. That's more for me.
Yes.
I could be petty, but taking forever to like come back.
Oh. I was about to get to our caller.
The Sabres, though.
Win tonight.
Win tonight, yes.
I feel like if you can go perfect out west.
If you can go perfect out west, but even now with the likelihood that Tage Thompson not playing.
I still would want to beat Anaheim.
It's not just that. You can be kind of impressed by what they've been able to do without him.
Yes.
With how bad the 5-on-5 numbers looked without him when the injury first happened. It was kind of like preparing for it. This would be sort of impressive. Again, it was the really, really bad start that has set them up poorly. But since... they've been very good. Everything has improved, including the penalty kill numbers.
Penalty kill was great.
The power play has scored, what, in 7 straight games?
Yeah, they're kind of figuring it out now.
And so the record, it's funny to kind of give them credit like this because they haven't really earned it for years. But for this year, I would say especially, their record is not really doing them justice to how they've actually performed. Have they been perfect? Absolutely not. But since the poor start, they have been picking it up. They've been getting better. They've been able to pick up win streaks. They finally have kind of put into bed as well for them, not going on winning streaks and then losing streaks. They were able to, I mean, they went back and forth, but they've been able to kind of keep picking up points. Have they had bad losses? Yeah, I've brought up Detroit. You can also throw in, of course, Montreal and Philadelphia most recently to that. But then you go to LA and you grind out a 1-0 win.
Yes, and grind out is exactly the words you need to use for that because that was how it had to be. The LA Kings were not letting you get into the front net. They were not letting you get things easy. So you had to play crash and bang on the boards, which they were more than willing to do. But the thing was is that were you really even threatened at all by the Kings until like the last 5 minutes of that game? The answer is no.
Yeah.
They had 5 power plays, and they got 2 shots. That's Sabres early season power play bad.
Yeah, that's where it's like, hey, they can't even get into the zone. This is awesome to watch.
They were getting in the zone because what the Sabres like to do, and it's fun to look at, is they like to press the attack, which does make for easier entry when you're going in toward 3 skaters versus 4. It's a lot easier to get in the zone. But that said, the Sabres do like to try to attack you, press you into a bad decision, and you're not getting in there cleanly. Or you are getting in, but you're suddenly a mess. Or, better off, you create a turnover and the puck's going back down the other way.
Yep.
And that's something that the Sabres are really good at, is forcing the issue with their penalty kill when they're dialed in. And I said it yesterday, Zach Benson made a couple of really great reads on one of those penalty kills to end the second period. It was like one of his best shifts I've seen that night.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's different philosophies. The Sabres penalty kill will try to force the issue, but it does allow for easier entries. But that said, your best penalty killer has to be the goalie. And look who comes back the other night and gets a casual 1-0 shutout.
It's first shutout of the year, correct?
Yes.
Nice.
It's a good time. It is as good time as any.
And I've brought up a lot. I don't know the exact numbers, Derek. I don't know if you do too, but it's the amount of teams that, if they're in a playoff spot by Thanksgiving, they make the playoffs. I've seen the number 80 thrown around. I don't think that's correct. That feels aggressive.
Which, by the way, it does make sense. But also, the last time that we had said something like that, the Sabres were, by Thanksgiving, a top team when they had that 10-game win streak.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then proceeded to light everything about them on fire.
Yeah.
So this is, like how I say it about the Jets and the Chargers in the NFL, this is still ultimately a you have to prove it.
Yep.
Oh, am I excited? Absolutely. You bet I am. But you still have to prove it, ultimately, that you can do it. Are you a better team than the Boston Bruins this year? I say you are.
Oh, I think so.
Well, the numbers also back it up a little bit. Bruins can't score.
And they're also, what, minus 20 goal differential?
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason Jim Montgomery's fired.
Yes. And maybe they get the head coach, the new head coach bump, but you got to win your games out here against teams that you should out west.
Oh, it was close. Since 05-06, and this was last year,
mm-hmm.
Since 05-06, 76.7% of NHL teams make the playoffs if they're in a playoff spot by Thanksgiving.
That's why I say, like, it's not necessarily must win, but you got to win these games.
How is 80% close? Oh, my goodness. I thought that was aggressive. It's 4 points off.
That's not bad.
Oh, my gosh.
But that's also the nature of the business.
Yeah.
If you're playing well enough, you establish yourself enough.
Right.
And that was why the start that they had in Europe was so bad that you needed to recover from it.
And they have. And I hate this for the NHL, but for potentially just grabbing one of those wild card spots, it's a blessing in disguise that Alexander Ovechkin, who was leading the NHL in goals, is out 4 to 6 weeks.
Yeah. I hate that for like record chasing.
But
that might be important here. That said, they've given themselves enough cushion that they can survive a fall.
Mm-hmm.
They're at 27 points right now. The wild card is what? 21?
Yep.
That's where the Boston Bruins hold it right now.
Also, Washington did lose last night as well in regulation 2-1 to the Avalanche.
Mm-hmm. But they gave themselves enough, I think,
room. Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
There's a cushion points to fall.
Yeah, there's 27 points. They're 13-5-1. I mean, they're in a good spot, but in terms of them continuing to gain ground and potentially even keep this going, Dylan Strome's been awesome, but a lot of it has been he's feeding Ovi. We'll see if he can continue that kind of on his own a little bit.
So, by the way, the Anaheim Ducks, tonight's opponent, yes, they are seventh in the Pacific. Yes, they have 18 points this year, but they have a similar record to the Buffalo Sabres.
8-8-2.
8-8-2.
And problem is, though, most of their numbers look, dreadful.
Yeah, that's
goals
the other
four,
thing.
31st in the league. Assists, obviously going along with that, 31st in the league. Their penalty kill percentage as well, 31st in the league. Their power play percentage, 27th in the league.
They're not a good team, and when they win games, it
penalty
is,
minutes, they're third in the league.
I'm going to say this, and it's going to make you have instant dread right now. Here's the problem. John Gibson's 3-0.
3-0, a .906 save percentage, .267 goals against.
Which is nothing, you know, to clap home about, but Lucas Dostal has been very good for them.
Mm-hmm.
.924 save percentage in 13 games. Like, he's getting a lot of work, but he's also doing a good job trying to survive. It has been their goaltending that's been getting it done. UPL needs to have himself another good night against a Ducks team. Ready? And this is something that we've had a problem with this year. You need to make sure a team that doesn't score goals very much doesn't go off on you. It happened with the Islanders. Happened with Montreal.
Yep.
You cannot let it happen a third time here tonight.
Yep. 803-0550, the number two call. One more segment here before we get you off to Show Up the Bulldog, who will carry you until 7 o'clock. You're listening to WGR.
Let's wrap things up here. Speaking of Eric Wood, I had seen that he saw your nice little stat about the Bills and December and January.
Yeah, I should throw that in there. I didn't actually put it in the tweet. It's also January as well.
Yes.
It's December, January. They've had like one game every year that, that rounds out the season, like January 2nd or something like that. But, I mean, for the most part, to finish out a year in the final stretch.
They're dominant.
They're dominant, specifically in the last 3 years where they have not lost a single game. One of those, yes, being the DeMar Hamlin Cincinnati game that ultimately was.
It was trending toward a loss. It was, Cincinnati sure. was playing, but.
Absolutely, but it was early enough.
It was a no contest.
It was no contest. It was abandoned, obviously, because of the incident on the field. But outside of 2021, where they lost two in a row, Derek, as you brought up too, it was the win game against New England and then overtime against Tampa Bay and the
And that context even makes it more wild because one of those was one of the worst weather games you were going to deal with, which then helps a lower team claw its way into the game and then ultimately win it.
Mm-hmm.
And the other was, well, you're playing a guy who ended up closing out another great season in his storied career of kicking the Bills while they're down,
yep.
by the way.
So thoughtful of him.
And so thoughtful of him. Thanks, Tom. You jerk. Never. I'm glad I never have to see you on the sidelines ever again. I'm not glad, though, that the spiritual replacement constantly has to be dealt with every year.
Nothing to handle him, though. Those games are at least fun. The Patriots games were not fun.
No, they were not. You're
I should
right.
not. I should not remember right. a single regular season game from yeah, like 15 right. years ago.
All right. So, programming note, of course, 9 o'clock, the Steve Foley Law pregame show gets you ready for Sabres and Ducks, 10 o'clock tonight. I'm back here tomorrow with a sports talk Saturday. Myself and Joe Callie will be grabbing things and getting you through your weekend here. And then we're not here on Sunday. It's actually kind of cool. It's actually pretty nice to have the day off there. And I hope you all enjoy your Bills game, or Bills bye week, I should say. Enjoy it, relax comfortably, responsibly, and entertainingly. Show up and Bulldog coming up next.